We're continuing on our Sunday nights, the Soldiers of Christ study of the Old Testament, and we're at a point in our study where we're going tonight to start at the fall of that northern kingdom and go all the way over to the fall of the southern kingdom, from the time of Manasseh all the way up to the time of Zedekiah. But to set the background for that, we need to have a historical background. Suppose we started with Exodus. Would you know the character that is associated with the Exodus? I think you do. Now, don't put the answer on the screen yet, David, but what happens after Moses? Already it's there, is it? Okay. What happens after Moses? After the death of Moses, what happens? And who is the character associated with that takes Moses' place? You got the answer to that? That's the taking of the promised land. It's Joshua, is it not? What happens when Joshua dies? As you think about the Old Testament, we know what happens when Moses dies. We know what happens when Joshua dies. We know what happened when Moses died. Do you know what happened when Joshua died? Well, they get into the promised land and you have the period of the judges. And I put the names of some of those judges that are there. If I say the name Ehud, can anybody know when I say Ehud? I hope that every left-handed person in this audience tonight knows who Ehud is. He's the only character in the Bible whose name we know that's left-handed. There are 701 left-handed people mentioned specifically in the Bible. We only know the name of one of them. Ehud, and then we have there the woman judge, Deborah. What do you know about Gideon? As you think about that Old Testament, is there anything you would associate with Gideon? His army of about 300. I hope that'd be what you'd associate with him. What about Jephthah? Is that a name that rings a bell? You need to know the Old Testament enough so if you hear the word Jephthah, because that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as a great man of faith. He's the man who made the foolish vow, whatever comes out of my house, I'll offer it to God as a sacrifice. And his own daughter came out. What about Samson? I hope you'll know about that. Samson, the strong man in the Bible. And then Eli, and in my mind, I think about Eli being the old judge between Samson and the last of the judges, and that's Samuel. What happens when Samuel dies? In your mind, as you think about the Old Testament, when Samuel dies, what happens next? There's 450 years about that long, 400 plus years, the period of the judges. What happens after the period of the judges? Well, I hope you know that there's the time of the United Kingdom when the people said, we no longer want to have judges, give us a king. And I hope you know by now the names of those first three kings, Saul and David and Solomon. Now, following the death of Solomon, and we did not have this on the screen, but there is the time when the kingdom is divided. And so before we put the next item there, what is the date of the fall of that northern kingdom? I think it's an important date. If you're going to know the Bible, it would really, really help you to know when that northern kingdom, the kingdom was divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and that northern kingdom with the capital city of Samaria fell in 722 B.C. Important date, I believe, that you need to have in relationship to this. I guess you know how many bad kings there were in the northern kingdom. If I told you there were 19 kings in the northern kingdom, could you tell me how many of them were bad? 19. All right, that's not hard to do, is it, to figure that out? If I tell you in the southern kingdom there are 19 kings, could you name the four kings? Bobo, can you name the four kings that were in the southern kingdom? Oh, you missed the first one though. Asa, all right. Asa, then who? Jehoshaphat, then Hezekiah, and then Josiah. Those are the four kings. And I picked on Bobo because of the way we did that night to try to help us remember about those four kings. And they're not questions that are there, but they're part of this Soldiers of Christ study. And then the king who was reigning at the time of the fall of the northern kingdom, and that's Hezekiah. I believe that's an important time for you to put there. David, I don't know if it's possible to go to, I think it's slide 34. It's the next to last slide that shows when each of those prophets, and that's what we're studying in these Sunday night studies, each of the prophets when each of them lived. And there is, I didn't know these were coming in one by one, but there are the prophets to the northern kingdom. And I hope that's the order in which they come in. And that is Hosea and Amos, prophets to the northern kingdom. And I would encourage you to memorize this, because these are the kings in that as we think about the last 17 books of the Bible, I would spend some time really, really looking at this map. And so here's that northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. Which of those last 17 books are there? If you look at this map and study it enough, you need to know it's Hosea and Amos. And of course, we know about Jonah, and we know about him preaching over there where the Ninevites are. Now, down in the southern kingdom, I hope that's what next comes on the slide, are the two prophets that we've just studied. Prophets down in the southern kingdom before the fall of that northern kingdom, before 722 B.C. That's Isaiah and Micah. We've just finished that study. And then we have those individuals who were prophets after the fall of the northern kingdom. And there are four of them. There's Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah. And that's where we're going to be studying in the latter part of this year. Those prophets that were there after the fall of the southern kingdom. And then over in Babylon, there are those prophets that are over there, and that's Daniel and Ezekiel. And then you've got the prophets, of an unknown time, that's Joel and Obadiah, and then the prophets after the return, and that's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So that's the direction we're headed. But to get to that point, we've got to go back and set up the story of the historical aspect of what happened. Hezekiah is on the throne, and the Assyrian army comes and is ready to destroy Jerusalem, or destroy Samaria. And the Assyrian army in 722 destroys Samaria, the capital city of that northern kingdom. Hezekiah is down in the southern kingdom, and what a great, great king he was. But the prophet Isaiah came and said, "Hezekiah, you're going to die." And Hezekiah was the individual whose life God extended for 15 years. Sometimes you can live too long, because during that period of time, Hezekiah has a son named Manasseh. And so when Hezekiah dies, Manasseh becomes the next king. And the son of Hezekiah, the righteous king, was Manasseh, became king when he was 12, and for 55 years he ruled over the southern kingdom, and he was evil. Now I want you to do something. Will you do this in your mind? Will you add up these numbers? Hezekiah, the righteous king, for 29 years, and then along comes his son, Manasseh, and he reigns 55 years. Then he has a son, and his son's name is Amon. Amon reigns 2 years. So take the 55 and add to that the 2 years of Amon. Imagine 57 years ago what was happening on this earth, 57 years. Suppose how many would 57 years ago be? Would that be 1954, something like that? Think of how the world has changed since 1954. Gorman, you're probably 2 or 3 years of age at that time. And two, all right? And so he lies too. Anyway, here's the... imagine what the world was like and how much the world has changed. But suppose since the time of that Korean War, shortly thereafter, there never was any righteousness in America. And that's what had happened. And so Josiah comes onto the throne, and for the first 8 years of his life, there's still wickedness. So if you'll add the 55 plus the 2 plus 8, 67 years of unrighteousness. I think it's hard for us to imagine what's going on during this period of time. here are these ungodly kings, Manasseh and Amon on the throne, and Isaiah's there trying to prophesy and trying to deal with some of these things. But my, oh my, nobody's interested in living righteous in that land. But Josiah becomes king, and Josiah reigns for 31 years. In the 8th year of his reign, the people discover the Bible. There's an amazing story. Josiah gives commandment to go and to clean out the temple of God, and as they're cleaning out the temple of God, guess what they find? They find a copy of the Bible. And when Josiah begins to read the writings of Moses and those prophets that followed him, he is convicted of the fact that we are in tremendous trouble. And so Josiah begins a restoration. And so here we have for the last 23 years of the reign of Josiah, righteousness. I'm not sure in your mind how old Daniel is when it was taken as a young man over into Babylon, he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you do the math backwards, and you will find that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were born during the reign of Josiah. They grew up in Israel at that time when righteousness was being exemplified on the throne there. And so if you want to understand Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were teenagers, it was a time of great, great righteousness. That's remarkable in and of itself. When they get over in Babylon, where on earth does their faith come from? Because that's when they were growing up. They grew up in a time of great, great righteousness. Let us emphasize the fact that you can take the Bible, and Josiah is proof of it. Josiah picked up the Old Testament and said, we can restore Judaism. And by simply using the Bible, they restored Judaism. Now, if you can do that with the Old Testament, why is it not possible for us to do that with the New Testament? If Josiah could find the writing of Moses and Samuel and David and Solomon and the prophets that were there and could read all of those and could bring about the purity of the restoration of God down to the very way they kept the feast days, why is it not possible for us to take the New Testament and restore the New Testament church? If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to know what meets in what is in the heart of the members of the people in this building that assemble here, every week. It is an absolute determination to restore the New Testament church in this building. When people think of the Church of Christ, they need to think these are the people who are trying to go back to the Bible. Have you noticed the sign out on the building? I don't know how many times you come down I-95. Have you seen the sign, that poster that's out there? I'm not sure everyone who is responsible for getting those and putting them up and taking them down, but I want to tell you, I just love the fact that people driving down I-95, written on the side of this building, restoring the church of the Bible. Somebody says, you cannot do that. Josiah says you can restore Judaism. And if Judaism could be restored by using the Old Testament, why cannot the New Testament church be restored in this building by using the New Testament? He used the Old Testament, and we use the New Testament. Now then, we've got those 67 years. We've got the 23 years of righteousness, and then Josiah dies. His son, Jehoahaz, gets on the throne. Guess how long he reigns? 3 months. And he was so evil in 3 months that the Lord would look at his life and said, he did that which was evil in the sight of God. Jehoahaz has a son named Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim gets on the throne and he reigns for 11 years. And it's 11 years of evil. You take the 67 years and you add to that the 11 years. Somebody have to help me remember these numbers, but is that 78 years of unrighteousness? Over against the 23 years of righteousness. He makes an alliance with Egypt. Because you see, there's the power of Babylon, there's the power of the Assyrians, the people of Nineveh. And so in order to protect himself, he goes down to Egypt and he makes an alliance with Egypt. Come and protect us and we'll give you of our treasures. And so he sat on the throne. And it's during this time that whenever he's made this alliance with Egypt, that Nebuchadnezzar comes for the first time and takes him off of the throne. And it's at that time that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are taken over to Babylon. And so now we've got a wickedness over there in Jerusalem. Over in Babylon, we've got Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who are over there during the time of Jehoiakim's reign. Well, because of that alliance, Nebuchadnezzar comes. And before we come to that, I've got the other point there. Look in Jeremiah chapter 36. Here's Jehoiakim. And we'll probably look at this whenever we study in detail some of these things. But there's a fabulous story that is there. And you ought to know that it's in the Bible. Do you know that there's a burning of the Bible in the Bible? Not the burning of the Koran, but the burning of the Bible. Jehoiakim's on the throne. And the king in Jeremiah chapter 31 sends Jehudah to bring the scroll of Jeremiah. He was sitting in the winter house, verse 22, there's a fire burning in the hearth. And it happened when Jehudah had read three or four columns. He just started reading the book of Jeremiah. The king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire until all of the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Burned the Bible. He read the writings of Jeremiah and he cut it up. Yet then the statement is, they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments in spite of the way they had treated the word of God, the king, nor any of his servants who heard all these words. And so, verse 27, after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch, who's the secretary, the scribe, had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, take another scroll and write on it every one of the words that were in the first scroll. And then he says, and I've got a few more things to add to that. And you shall say unto Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you have burned this scroll, saying the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here. Or why have you written it in it that says that Babylon, the king of Babylon will come and destroy? The Lord says to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on his throne and shall be cast out in the heat of the day and in the frost of the night. I will punish him and his family and his servants for their sins, and I will bring on this city the iniquities and the judgments of God for the evil that's done. So when Jehoiakim dies, it is not Jehoiachin, his son, that becomes king, because part of the punishment for burning the scrolls was that his descendants would not sit on the throne. They go back and select, Nebuchadnezzar goes back and selects another one of the sons of Josiah. So look at the screen and you see the name Josiah. You see the name Jehoahaz. That's Josiah's first son who became a king. And then Jehoiakim is the grandson of Josiah. But instead of his son becoming the next king, they go back and they take another one of the sons of Josiah. So here's the second son of Josiah that becomes king. And his name is His name is Coniah. He reigns for 3 months. And he's placed there by Nebuchadnezzar, but he's evil. Now there's an interesting thing of great importance here in reference to this man, Jehoiakim. Now let's get back and make sure we're understanding. Josiah the righteous king has a son, Jehoahaz, who reigns 3 months, and he's evil. Jehoahaz has a son, Jehoiakim. That's not Josiah's son, that's his grandson. But Josiah has another son, and that son's name is Jehoiachin. And he reigns 3 months. Not a good track record for a man that was as righteous as Josiah, for in those 3 months he did that which was evil. Now here's something of great significance, and that is that Jehoiachin has another name. And the name, the other name that he has is Coniah. If you're in Jeremiah, and some of you were there looking in chapter 36, go back to chapter 22, where there Jeremiah talks about this man Coniah. And he says of Coniah, write this man childless. Look in verse 24, chapter 22, verse 24. As I live, says the Lord, Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signum of right hand, yet I would pluck you off. And I'll give you into the hands of those who seek your life, into the hands of those you fear. I'll put you in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hands of the Chaldeans. I will cast you out, and your mother who bore you, and into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land which they desire to return, they shall not return. Coniah is he not, a despised and broken vessel, a vessel that in whom I have no pleasure. Why are they cast out, he and his descendants, cast into the earth, which they do not know? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Write down this man as being childless. Because none of his descendants will ever sit on the throne of David and prosper ruling in Judah. Got the picture? Because of Coniah's wickedness, God said there's not one of his descendants that will ever be able to sit on David's throne and prosper in Jerusalem. We've got Matthew 1 on the screen. Do you know why? Because Matthew 1 shows that Jehoiachin, Coniah, is one of the forefathers of Jesus himself. Now watch this. No descendant of Coniah will ever sit on the throne of David and prosper reigning in Jerusalem. It cannot happen. God, who cannot lie, says it will never, ever happen. But Jesus is a descendant of Coniah. Do you know the whole basis of premillennialism? When the Lord returns in a millennium, as some people have described it, He's going to descend and He's going to Jerusalem and He's going to sit on the throne of David and rule for 1,000 years. That's an absolute impossibility. Because God, who cannot lie, says that no descendant of Coniah, and that includes Jesus, could ever sit on the throne of David and reign and prosper in Jerusalem. Isn't it remarkable how the Bible, in some seemingly insignificant verse in Jeremiah chapter 22, forever makes the premillennial doctrine that Jesus is going to come back and sit on David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years an impossibility. It cannot happen. Well, he is taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar after three years of reigning. And it's during the time of his exile over there in Babylon that Ezekiel comes onto the scene and begins prophesying over in Babylon. Well, wait a minute. If Jehoiachin has no descendants that will prosper, guess what? Another one of Josiah's son named Zedekiah sits on the throne. And so you've got Jehoahaz, you've got Jehoiakim, and you've got Zedekiah, three of the sons of righteous Josiah. And they're all evil. And he reigns 11 years. Well, let's add that up. Were we at 78 years of ungodliness? That gets us to 89 years of ungodliness. From the time of the death of Hezekiah until the destruction of Jerusalem, 120 years or plus, 130 years go by, 23 years of righteousness, and 89 years of ungodliness. And God had finally had it up to here. And so Jerusalem fell. And the date for the final destruction of that city on the card is 586 B.C. Let's look at some slides then to sort of review what we've looked at. From the time of Hezekiah till the time Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys the city, there's 89 years of wickedness. And only, you know, two decades and, you know, plus change of righteousness. No wonder God's ready to destroy the city. The nation that destroyed and took captive the southern kingdom, the answer to that is Babylon. You really need to know that. And the arrow on the screen shows you where Babylon is. And so there is that picture of the artist has drawn of Nebuchadnezzar's army coming and besieging the city of Jerusalem. And the king of Babylon who conquered Judah and Jerusalem. That's one of the questions on one of the cards that you have in the Soldiers of Christ is Nebuchadnezzar. He carried away in three different waves individuals over into Babylon. The first group he carried away had Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The second group is when Ezekiel was taken captive over to Babylon. And the third one is whenever Nebuchadnezzar comes for the final time and destroys the city. Now, on the slide and the question on the card is, what else was taken by Nebuchadnezzar in addition to the captives? What did he carry back to Babylon? In the verses that were read tonight, all of the articles from the house of God, from the great and the small. And so God had it with Israel, and he destroyed through Nebuchadnezzar the most holy place on this earth. The year that happened, the date of the fall of the southern kingdom begins in 606. And when Nebuchadnezzar comes the third time, we're to 586. And the city is destroyed. Now they're going to be in Babylon. They're going to be from the time of 606, they're going to be 70 years in Babylon. Why did the southern kingdom fall? For the exact same reason the northern kingdom fell. And that is the people of God were leaving the commandments of God and turning to idolatry. And whenever we study the writings of these prophets of the southern kingdom, I hope that we will be mindful of everything that is involved in this 89 years of ungodliness. So the next books we're going to study of the writing of the prophets are these prophets who are writing during this 89 plus 23, 112 years the last years of that. And so that's the prophets we'll be studying. But 89 of those years, there's ungodliness on the throne. Who were the writing prophets to the southern kingdom before the fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar? There's Isaiah and Micah. Who are the writing prophets to the southern kingdom before Jerusalem fell? And that's the next books we'll study. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah. And then written prophets of an unknown origin are Joel and Obadiah. Look again at this slide that we mentioned before. We need to memorize this and recognize that when this kingdom is divided, there's ungodliness in that northern kingdom. 19 kings and never a godly king in that northern kingdom. And there are two prophets. There's Hosea and Amos that are prophets there in the northern kingdom. In the southern kingdom, there's Isaiah and Micah, and all of this happens before the northern kingdom falls. But after the northern kingdom falls, you've got Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Jeremiah all prophesying during this period of time. Over in Babylon, you've got Daniel and Ezekiel prophesying over in Babylon. Of course, Nineveh was a part of the over there before as a part of the before 722 BC. And then there's those prophets who return after they return from captivity. And that's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And we'll talk about that historical part of that before we study those three books. Prophets of an unknown time, Joel and Obadiah. I hope that you'll become a student of the Bible. And I know sometimes when you begin talking about these things, they seem to be so technical. It's like sitting in school and nobody likes history. But I'm telling you, if you'll get the history of Israel from the time of the death of Solomon and get it fixed into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, prophets coming to the north, prophets coming to the south, into the northern kingdom, and at that time, Isaiah and Micah, they've done their work. They're moved out of the picture, and now you've got the little southern kingdom. And down in that southern kingdom, you've got Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Jeremiah prophesying to that southern kingdom during that 112-year period of time. Well, over in Babylon, living at this same time that we're talking about, is Daniel's over there and Ezekiel's over there. So we got these four prophets in the southern kingdom. You've got two over there in Babylon, all of them, six of those 17 books of prophecy in the Old Testament are written during this 112-year period of time, or at least part of them are written during this period of time. I hope that we'll have an appreciation, because when we now begin the study of these books of prophecy, we'll have the setting for that, and that is the people of God in Jerusalem prophesied during the time after the northern kingdom fell and before the falling of the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. Now we come to that part of our service where we sing an invitation song. If you want to become a child of God, you need to believe that He's the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be washed in the blood of Jesus when you're baptized in water. You can do that tonight and become a Christian. And He says to every Christian, you be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. How can we help you tonight? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?